You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
It's pretty impressive. Even a different shirt. I like it. Well, it's good to be here this morning. My name is Colin, and I have the privilege of getting to work with our youth here at Canby Foursquare. And so I am so glad to be with you. I wish the sun would come out, though, again. Anybody enjoy the sun this last week, and then it just kind of disappeared on us? So got a couple things I want to talk to you guys about this morning. So get ready. As I tell our students, get your Bibles out, get your journals out. We're going to take some notes because what I believe I'm going to share with you is from God and something that he wants to share with you. So get ready for that. I want to talk about camp first, because if I got the opportunity, camp is amazing. It is life-changing. It is one of the reasons that I am where I am today is because of camp. And so if you have a high schooler or a middle schooler, get them registered. It's all done online this year, and you can do it at the northpacificcamp.com or at canbyfoursquare.com. Camp's just an incredible time. This is our fourth or fifth year going with this group of people, and it's just always, it gets better and better every year. Great worship, great speakers, great games. Like, I'm so pumped for camp this year. So if you've got students, or if you don't have students but would like to help sponsor a student, let me know. We can always use scholarships, because my heart is, I think, the same heart that God has, is that we want to send everyone to camp. Like, we don't want money to be an issue from an encounter from God. So if you want to donate, we also are having a barbecue on June 9th for a fundraiser. So after church, come share some hot dogs, hamburgers, and help send kids to camp. Then I also want to tell you real quickly, June 5th, we're kind of throwing a big party. It's called United Night, and I'm really, really, really excited about it. So if you know a high schooler or a middle schooler, send them to this, because this is going to be a great night. It's Wednesday, June 5th. Service starts at 7. We have invite cards available out at the front desk. We've got free Chick-fil-A, bringing in some guest speakers, guest worship leaders. We're doing a ton of giveaways. Like, I'm so excited for it. And I just believe that we're going to have a lot of students encounter God and meet Jesus maybe for the first time or recommit their life this night. So if you don't have a student, pray for us. Pray for that night. We need all the prayer that we can get. So that's all for my announcements today. We've been the last couple weeks going over some difficult subjects, some tough topics, things that we've maybe had to kind of evaluate our own heart and kind of evaluate where we are and maybe get a little irritated by some things that were said. And I think that's the provoking of the Holy Spirit. So thank you, James, for handling those so I didn't have to. And this morning, I'm really excited about what I have to share about, because this is really a topic that I live in. This is really a topic that I have to deal with on a daily basis, and that's, how do we work together as kingdom-minded people in developing disciples? That's really what we're talking about today, is multi-generational ministry. How do we do this together? Because there are people of all generations here today, and we're all a little bit different, right? We all have our different preferences. We all have our different styles. We all have things that are comforting for us that aren't comforting for others. I'm quickly approaching my 30th birthday in like a week and a half, and it's really like 30 is a weird age, because I finally feel like I'm becoming an adult. Like, I really feel like 20 was like this, like, you're still kind of a teenager, but with responsibilities. You have to pay your own bills. You have to do all this stuff on your own. But yet you're still just like really starting to figure things out. And guess what I know about my 30s is I'm going to still be struggling to figure things out, and that it's going to be more of that. But I do just kind of feel like it's the next step. And so one of the things I've been thinking about, I've been getting really like reflective and introspective, which is a little dangerous sometimes, right? Like, I wish that I knew everything I knew when I was 18 now, you know, right? Like when you're 18, you know how things work. You know how everything's supposed to go. Like you've got life figured out. And I'm 30 and I'm like, man, I have no idea what's going on. And it's just kind of funny that, you know, you just think about it and what was important to me then versus what's important to me now. Even working with our student ministry, I'm realizing how disconnected I am from the 12-year-olds because, like, I realize I have a pair of shoes that are older than some of our students. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm old now. But just that idea that we're so separated. And so one of the things that even I've had to work on, especially the last couple of years, and some of our interns and leaders can attest, I say, if I'm making a decision based out of my preference, I need you to call me on it. Because here's what I'm about. I'm about the kingdom. If we are going to play a song that maybe I don't like personally, if it's going to bring people to Jesus, that's what I'm about. That's what I'm after. And I think really that's the idea that we have to keep ahead of us is that together as Christians and believers, we're on mission together. We're unified by the idea that we were given the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus comes to them and says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We have one mission. One mission as people of faith. We have one mission, and that is to go and seek and save the lost. That's to go out and let people know the good news. That's the mission of the kingdom, is to go out and share those things. And you know what? This mission cannot be accomplished without older generations and without younger generations. If we don't work together, the mission falls apart. We need each other. And I mean, really, if you think about it, we all fall into both categories. I mean, raise your hand if you're older than somebody. Are you older than somebody? Now, would you raise your hand if, amen, you're younger than somebody? Right? So here's the thing. Don't shut me off if I'm speaking to the younger generation. And younger generation, don't shut me off if I'm speaking to the older generation. Because we all fall into those categories. So this is for all of us. So I've established I'm not attacking anybody. I'm not here to point fingers or, you know, let you know what you need to do to change your life and so that you can help, you know, the younger generation or the older generation. We're together. We're all in this together. We're going to do it. And so I want to talk about being aligned. And I'm going to be out of Ephesians 4 today. And if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. I would highlight this because this has been a verse that's been so impactful in my life. And it says, "I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over and through all and all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." So here we have Paul. He's writing to the church at Ephesus, which in the time is the city. Like that's the place to be. That's where the good food was, that's where the banks were, that's where, you know, if you wanted to get the newest carriage that, you know, or cart that your horses pulled, that's where you got it. Like they had everything. They had everything you wanted. It's like going to the city, that was it. And it's modern day Turkey now, and it still is a hub. Like, it still is a central spot. So this city is really, really important. And this church that Paul's writing to is like a baby church. Like, he's like, this is my baby. I love this church. Because out of this church, we've birthed other churches. And, you know, Pastor Ron has compared our church to that and saying, you know, like, hey, that's our heart. We want to be a church that goes out and send. We've had so many church plants. We've had so many different ministries launched out of our church, which is just exciting to me because it really is the kingdom mission, right? Is we're not concerned about just building in here. We're concerned about building out there. And Paul wants to make sure that this church keeps that mission in mind as well. And one of the things we can see about this letter and this these few verses in particular is that he's writing to believers to remind them who they are. In verses 18 and 19, we're not going to go there, but he just says, this is for you believers. What I'm telling you, what I'm calling you to, this is for you. It's not for unbelievers. We'll get to that a little bit later, but what's important to remember is Paul is calling out their identity. He's not telling them, hey, stop doing this, stop doing that, stop doing this. This is what he says. This is who we are. This is who you are. You need to walk worthy of the calling to which you've been called. You need to be humble. You need to be gentle. You need to be kind. You need to be loving because this is who you are. So he's speaking maybe even a little prophetically to this group, saying, this is who you are, act like it. I read this book recently called Atomic Habits, and it's just been really good for me. But one of the things that he says in the book is you've got to develop the mindset. If you want to change your habits, you've got to develop the mindset of that person. So what does a humble person do? What does a gentle person do? What does instead of saying, well, if I want to be kind in this moment, no, you got to say, hey, I am a kind person. What does a kind person do in this moment? Like waking up in the morning, I like to get a workout in the morning. I'm like, if I'm an athlete, athletes wake up early and they actually get out of bed to go work out. So if I want to be an athlete, I got to develop the mind of an athlete and get out of bed. Now, I'm not 100% on that one. Sometimes the snooze button wins, but I'm a work in progress. So Paul's reminding them, this is who you are. Act like it. And he's really saying, focus on yourself. Let's talk about your journey for a second. So I want to ask, how do we work together? How do we act together generation to generation? How do we walk in humility? Because that's difficult, right? Walking in humility is tough. And we can't walk in humility with one another unless we're with one another, unless we're together, unless the generations come united. We actually can't walk in humility because when you're walking by yourself, it's really easy to be humble. But when you're walking with others, that's what's important. It's important. And I live this out every day, at least 5 days a week. I meet up with some friends, and we like to suffer together at a CrossFit gym. And I work out with like a lot of people who are like 40, 50, 60, a couple 70-year-olds. And, you know, I'm young. I'm an athlete. I can whoop any of them, stronger than them, faster than them. No. I'm walking humbly every day when I look over and there's a 60-year-old finished with his workout 5 minutes before I am. It's really humbling, learning how to walk humbly with them. And they're teaching me that you can't get better with age. So I'm excited about that. But really, in order for us to walk humbly together, we've got to understand that we're united by mission. We're together, we're aligned by the mission, not by our preferences, right? It's really easy to get along with people who have the same preferences as you, right? Like, the older I get, the less I like the music that's on the radio. You know, that's like a true sign of getting older, is you're like, this music sucks. This music's nothing compared to the music when I was a kid, right? Right? Can anybody identify with that, right? You know, just this idea that it's not my preferences that matter. Like, my preferences aren't as important as the mission we've been called to. Some of us, you know, if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, you've had these experiences with maybe it's a location or a song or a message or something that like that's where you encountered God. Like that's your burning bush. Like that's where I spoke to God. That's where I met him. And sometimes we get locked into that. Like God can only move this way through this song and this chord progression, right? Like we get so attached to that. That we're trying to tell people, like, this is the way that God moves. I'm going to tell you something about God that I've learned, is that God's going to move how God's going to move. Like, he's going to move how he wants to. He is not bound to my preferences or my things that I want to see. And it's I know this for a fact because, like, think of the way that Jesus performed miracles. Like, no miracle was the same. No miracle was performed the same way. I mean, like, how many blind people was like, all right, you're no longer blind. But then he's got the one guy that he spits into the mud and rubs it on his eye. And it's like, he's going to move how he's going to move. He's going to heal people how he's going to heal people. He's going to do what he's going to do. And I'm going to tell you this, is that how God has moved in the past is so crucial. But so is how God's going to move in the future. And I think we find ourselves in this tension that it's like you have no idea how God can move and understanding the history of what he's done and yet met with, but you don't know what he's doing right now. Guess what? We're all in this together. He's moving how he's moving. And he has since the beginning of time. And so it's remember that we have to put aside sometimes our preferences, our comforts, in order to let God move in our lives and in the lives of others. One of the things that I know is that the more uncomfortable I am in watching God doing something is probably better for me than something I'm more comfortable with, right? So let's put aside our preferences, let's put aside those things and learn how to adopt an attitude and mindset that we got to keep the main thing, and that's Jesus. And we should be willing to humble ourselves enough to let older generations lead us and younger generations inspire us, right? There's a lot of wisdom we can learn from, and there's a lot of energy we can capitalize on from the younger generations. We have to put things into perspective. It's about reaching lost people. That's our mission. The method isn't that really that important. It's the motive and message we're after. So then how do we walk together in gentleness and patience? So we walk in humility by casting aside our preferences, but how do we walk together in gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love? I would say this, forcing things doesn't go well. Have you ever tried to force somebody to do something? Anybody ever try that? Anybody? I was one of those kids and still kind of am one of those people that if you tell me this is what you have to do and this is how you have to do it, I'm going to figure out a way to not do it like that. And I'm going to fight you. And I'm going to get around it because it's like, you can't tell me what to do. No? Nobody else? Okay. Well, at least I'm getting something out of it. It's like trying to yell at somebody telling them to calm down. Right? Like never in the history of yelling and telling somebody to calm down if they ever calm down. You know, forcing the next generation or forcing the older generation, all that does is create conflict. But when we can come to the, if we can come, there's, in older generations there's strength, in younger generation there's strength. Here's the thing, here's what gentleness is strength under control. Strength submitted to Jesus and say, how can we take your strength? How can we take my strength? How can we do this together so we can be as strong as possible? That's what the mindset of the kingdom is. And scripture even tells us to let your gentleness be known to all men so that they may know I am near. Like Scripture tells us, be gentle, be kind, be loving. Proverbs 15:8 says this, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but one who is patient calms a quarrel. So if we want to walk together in gentleness and patience and bearing with one another in love, we have to learn to be patient with each other. We have to learn to not get up and try to stir the pot and move and shake things. Instead, wait upon the Lord to give us wisdom. The forcing thing doesn't ever go well. So the older generations here, we want the younger generations to fit into our mold. We've seen how discipleship works. We've seen how following Jesus works. We've seen God move in certain ways, and we expect the younger generation to move like that and to fit into that mold. But here's the thing. It's not how the kingdom works. If we want to be successful, the only way we can do it is by being gentle and patient and kind and loving with each other. Because then we can show the younger generation, this is the why. That's what gets missed, right? When we're telling people things that are going to help them. This is how you got to do it. Why? Trust me, believe me, know that this is it. But what the younger generation is looking for, they're not looking for the method, they're looking for the why. Like, so why? Why do we do it like that? Why is that way important? Why is this thing important? That's something that I've learned from Pastor Ron so much is we sit down and talk, and he's like, hey, I need you to simmer down now. You need you to be patient, and here's the why. And really, I'm like, oh, I am kind of an impatient jerk. Like, thank you for being gracious with me and gentle with me and showing me the why. Be patient with the younger generation. Be patient with them. And younger generation, like, let's stop tailgating the older generation, right? Like, we're like, move, get out of the way. We got things to do, right? Like, anybody ever, probably not because you guys are all really good Christians, but have you ever tailgated somebody because they're not going fast enough for you? You're like going, and like, they're like, you know, if they're like me, they're going to brake check you. Like I said, I'm a work in progress. But right, if we don't sit back, because you know what? If you're tailgating somebody and there's danger ahead, what happens? You run right into them. You cause conflict. You cause a crash. But if you're far enough back, you watch their car move or brake or swerve or something away from danger, guess what you get to do? You get to move and swerve and avoid danger. You get to avoid the crash. So younger generation, remember we're all in that. Learn from the older generation. Follow them. Don't ride their bumper. Follow them. Because our aim really isn't to convince one generation into doing things our way. It's to walk together in the alignment of the Spirit. Like, it's to do this together. We have the same goal. My way or the highway isn't the mindset of the kingdom. Unity, being together. And when I say unity, I'm saying being united by one Spirit, being united by Christ, being together. It doesn't mean we look the same, we dress the same, we drink the same Kool-Aid. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is, together, we use our differences to strengthen it, to strengthen how we go about our mission. Here's our goals. There's two goals for you. It's to follow Jesus to the best of your ability. And then it's to show others the gift that we've been given in the cross. Like, that's what the kingdom boils down to, right? No greater commandment is there than this. Love your neighbor as yourself, and love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength. Like, those are the things we've been given. We need each other. We can't do this alone. Over the last couple weeks, I have been so impressed by the young people here in Canby. And like Last Wednesday, we had a speaker lined up for our middle school Bible study that's been going on. Speaker had to cancel on Sunday, had a conflict come up, wasn't going to be able to make it. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, we've got this big group, like, I got to get a good speaker. I got to get something. And guess what we did? As I texted a bunch of our high school leaders and I said, hey, would you be willing to share with the next generation what they're going to face? And it was so amazing. We're at the gym here at Baker Prairie, and here's a picture of four of our high schoolers that came and shared. And they just shared and said, this is what I've experienced in middle school and high school that will help you avoid pain and follow Jesus better. Like, this is the older generation sharing their wisdom, what they've experienced. And yet it was so amazing because you looked at all these middle schoolers who started, you know, 7 in the morning. They're all kind of leaning back, like barely awake. And these high schoolers last minute decided to come and do it for us. It was just amazing, just stepped up. But then by the end of it, every middle schooler is like sitting on the floor, just like leaning in, going, wow. You see, when we're willing to learn from the generation ahead of us, we pick up a lot. And what's been awesome is that's been going on there, but it's also been going on here over the last couple of weeks. We've had some of our own young people sharing at youth group and sharing, this is my experience. This is what I've gone through. This is what God's done for me. Here's how he can help you. What's amazing here is we've got an eighth grader, a freshman, and a graduated senior who sharing to each other. So younger generation leading older generation and vice versa. This is how the kingdom works. But it doesn't work if we're not willing to step into those roles. It doesn't work if we're not willing to step up and say, you know what, I accept the role of a follower and I accept the role of a leader. Each one of us needs to be following Jesus as close as we can. And we need to be leading people to him. We need each other. So some action steps for us here. Who are you in relationship that's older than you that you're learning from? Who do you have that's gone before you? And you know what? It might not even be an age. Maybe it's in order of your walk with Jesus. Because there's people who've been following the Lord a lot longer than I have who are younger than me. And I've learned from them all the time. But who are you walking with that you're allowing them to lead you? Because here's the thing is the older generations, they have wisdom that they want to share. They're not trying to be selfish. They want to share it. They want to give it to you because they want to save you from pain. And I've been so thankful for the people in my life who've paid dumb taxes that I haven't had to now, right? Like, oh, so if you do that, this happens. Okay, good to know. I'm not going to do that. Most of the time I follow that. But what I'm learning is how valuable those relationships have been in my life. The people who are older than me that have gone before me, that have shown me how to follow Jesus, how to love people better than and really how to get after that. Like, those have been so valuable for me. And, like, sometimes it's taking them out to coffee. Sometimes it's just hanging out at their house. Sometimes it can look however you want it to look. But surround yourself with older people who've gone before you that you can learn from. Then the next question is, who are you in relationship with you that is younger than you that you're learning from and investing in? This is two-sided. Because that's how the kingdom works, right? We need each other. Without those who have gone before us, like, we're not meeting here today. Like, without the Gustafsons coming and planting this church, we're not here today. Like, without that, like, I'm not up here speaking because guess what? This stage doesn't exist how this stage exists. Now, I believe God still would reach Canby and do all the great things that he wanted to do, but it is truly because of their sacrifices and then the sacrifices of Pastor Ron and Annette that we're here today. Those who have gone before us, there's a lot to learn from, though. Faith, man, I was sitting down with a guy who was 84 the other day. He's got a brother who was 104. I'm like, man, you've seen the vacuum cleaner invented in your lifetime. Like, that's amazing. But he was telling me about his brother's dedication and faithfulness to following Jesus through the Great Depression, World War I, World War II, every subsequent war from then, how his faith has never been in a politician, it's never been in this, it's never been in that, it's been in Jesus. And I'm like, oh man, I could learn a lot from that. I could really learn how to be faithful. I'm like, something breaks, I'm like, throw it out. What's next? Right? That's my generation. That's what I am. And so I could learn a lot. You know, younger generation, especially in age right now, they've never had to wonder. You know, if you ever, you remember when you were a kid, for those of us who are, you know, before the smartphone age, like, I wonder what this is, or I wonder how this, when was this created, right? Like, that wonder, and you're like, I don't know, let's talk about it. Now it's like, the question isn't, I wonder, it's, the question is, when was this created? Let me tell you real quick, right? Like, there's more information available than ever, right, in the palm of my hand. And here's what the younger generation is learning, to look here for information, but what's missing is transformation. So, like, there's a lot to do with information, but the younger generation needs to know what to do with that information, how to be transformed, how to do that. And so we need older people to show us how to transform into a Christ follower. These have been so important in my life, these relationships of older people and younger people. Because you know what? Like, working in the middle school and high school and being with them, I'm actually learning a lot. Like, I learn a lot every time. Like, I learn how to be courageous. I had a group of young people. We kind of had some things go haywire. And, like, this group of young people is like 11, 13, 13, and, like, 18. And none of them had ever led worship. And I was like, hey, you guys want to lead worship? They're like, well, how do we do it? That was their question. I was like, man, if somebody came up to me and said, like, you want to lead worship? I'm like, no, I can't sing. Nobody wants to have a guy just stand up there with a bass and try to lead worship, right? Like, nobody wants that. They were like, yep, what do you need from us? How do we do it? Show us the way. It's like, man, I could really adapt that attitude of being courageous enough to step into and say, okay, let's go. Learning a lot from this younger generation. And, you know, we as a church, we really believe that being connected together in a church body, it goes across generation, and it really does allow us to learn and grow from each other. And I'm so glad that we have a church that honors that. I mean, every team that we have at this church is so multi-generational, it's amazing. This is not a church that says, wait until you're old enough, or wait until you've done this. It's like, we will find a fit for you to serve and learn and grow alongside people who are older than you and younger than you. Like, we have dedicated to that. And the older generations, you've got a lot to offer in the life experience to the younger generation. And likewise, the younger generation has perspectives that I think a lot of us could learn from, and their insights. And learning how to have a dialogue together on how do we accomplish our mission? How do we reach the lost? Like, that's how we have to be united. That's how we have to go together. I mean, because we have the same mission. It's to go and make disciples. It's to go and share the good news. That's your mission. And when we work together, we're so dangerous to the kingdom of hell. Because when we're unified, we're doing amazing things. When we work together, when older generations and younger generations come together to accomplish the mission, no one is off limits, no one is out of bounds, everyone is a target for Jesus. But when we try to work separately and aside from each other, we're actually just really mediocre, and the enemy's not really worried about us. So if we want to be a threat to hell, we have to work together. We don't have a choice. We really need each other. Let's not forsake the gathering. Let's not forsake gathering with older and younger people. Because, man, together we're incredible. And, you know, that is, it's one of the things that I love about our church is that everybody has an opportunity. And I wasn't planning on doing this, and I was in worship, and we have cards in front of you have a card in front of you that says serve together. Like, that's the mission of our church, is that we serve Jesus together. And if you don't have a place that you're serving, sign up to serve. Because guess what? You will immediately be entered into a relationship with somebody who's older than you and younger than you. We've got youth that need you. We've got kids that need you. We've got people who work in pancake breakfast that need you. We've got people that greet that need you. They need your experience. They need your wisdom. They need your zeal. Like, we really need each other. Fill this out. Sign up. If you're like, I don't know where, we'll contact you. We'll get through this together. But remember, we're on mission, and that's to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because people are going to hell, and we don't want them to. And when we work together, we're so stinking dangerous. It's amazing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you that you love us and care for us. God, thank you for putting those who have gone ahead of us and showing us the way and how to follow you, how to reach lost people. God, we thank you. And God, I pray that if someone here today is lacking an older person in their life, somebody to follow, God, that you would inspire somebody to reach out. And likewise, Lord, God, and also for young people, God, we thank you for their zeal. We thank you for their energy. We thank you for their excitement, their passion. God, help us learn how to capitalize on that. Help us learn how to work together, God, so that we can reach lost people. Because that's what we're about, is about sharing the good news that you loved us enough to die on the cross for us. God, let us not be divided by preference. Let us be united by mission. God, we love you and we thank you so much. In your name, amen. Amen. Well,
thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.